What's up, y'all? It's JLP, the host of Mastering Singlehood and Relationships Podcast, coming to you with this brand new episode, part three of our series, Way to the Promise, Journey with God. And on tonight's episode, I really want us to concentrate concerning free will versus God's will. And, you know, again, how does that relate to our theme, Way to the Promise, Journey with God? What does that mean when it comes to really receiving the very promises that God has for our lives and so forth? And this is so important for us too to understand, because sometimes it's not that you are not in the right season of a thing. Maybe some of you have been waiting for a promise to manifest. Maybe you have been waiting for the right opportunity to present itself, and for whatever reason it's not coming, and you don't understand why. Because again, you have analyzed and you see that you're doing the work. You see that you are, in fact, partnering your faith, with action. But however, there's still not an attainable result. There's still not a physical manifestation of what it is that you have been believing for and working hard for. But I do realize, even when it comes to scripture, often it's not that certain people were not doing the work that they were supposed to be doing, but it's because they were not aligning themselves to the will of God. They were not surrendering their own will for God's will. And one of the things that you will see throughout scripture is that the quicker that one surrendered themselves to God's will, the quicker as well God himself in his nature is able to cause his will for their lives to manifest. Now, this is not to say that these individuals did not go through trials. It's not to say that, you know, their life was completely easy throughout their life. But it does highlight to us that once they surrendered their lives to God, God was still faithful in the end to bring about what it is that he had declared over their lives. And often in the season where that manifestation is going to take place, you will see even scripture highlights to us that it was accelerated. The manifestation of the promise or that answered prayer was indeed accelerated in their lives. And I believe is the same for us as well. One of the things that I love about the Word of God is that it models to us as well what it is that we can expect as believers. Everything that has happened to another believer in the Bible, God often repeats the same things in our lives. Yes, God allows new things to be done, but you will notice that God still, though he performs new things, he still has a pattern that he follows, especially when it comes to the process. Of an individual, again, receiving, for example, a call from God, or receiving a word from God, or receiving a promise from God, you will notice that he initiates it. And then from the point of initiation to the point of manifestation in the middle, there's a process, right, that individual has to undergo. And the reason why God does that, as we have already mentioned in previous episodes, when it comes to this series and even past episodes of the podcast, God does it because he wants to see where we are in our heart. He wants to see as well where we are in our faith, right? Because sometimes when we receive a word from God, or when we receive a dream or a promise from God, we tend to believe that God is just going to rain it down from the sky. But again, often God partners with us in order for his promises to come to pass in our lives. We see it when it comes to the story of Abraham. We see it when it comes to Moses, and as well as even Joshua, as we were highlighting in last week's episode. And on today's episode, I really want again to focus again on the importance of just making sure that we are walking with God again in order for us to attain what was promised to us by God. And the Bible character that I want to go ahead and highlight is not only a Bible character, but he is in fact our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you don't mind, wherever you are, please go ahead and open your Bible pages to John chapter 6, and we will be reading verse 38 to 41. John chapter 6, verse 38 to 41. And this is what it says. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. Amen. I want us to focus especially on verse 38 and 39. So I'm going to go ahead and read those two scriptures again. This is Jesus speaking, of course. And he says in verse 38, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." Verse 39, "And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall not lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day." Wherever you are, again, I want you to make sure you have a pen or a pencil near you to highlight that, to highlight those two scriptures, and to as well bookmark from verse 38 to 41. Now, this is important for us to pay attention to. Jesus is not only our Lord and Savior, y'all, but Jesus, in fact, he is our teacher. He is our greatest example. And as a matter of fact, Jesus even said to his disciples that we need to follow, that they have to follow his teachings, right? I'm just paraphrasing, but he's saying that whatever it is that he had shown them, that they too must follow. Amen. And so it is the same with us today. If you have accepted him as Lord and Savior of your life, you have become his follower. You have become his disciples. And so whatever it is that Jesus modeled to us in scripture, today we too have to exemplify in our everyday life. And Jesus let it be known in verse 38 that he came from heaven not to do his own will, but the will of the Father. And it is the same thing with us. Before you were even forming your mother's womb, God had a will for your life. And the very reason why he sent you to this earth is for you to do his will, not your own. But the thing is, many people roam the earth not knowing the will of God for their lives, and they rather do the will that they have for their lives. And now some people will say, well, okay, if God is the one that created us, how come he didn't just, you know, allow his will to be done like automatically? You know, why do, you know, we have to choose or so forth? Well, this is because, again, the Bible clearly depicts to us, although, again, we know God as creator, although we know him as judge, as the Bible mentions, God himself, he still allows us to make the choice to serve him. He still allows us to make the choice to accept his son. As a matter of fact, let's go ahead and read verse 40 of John 6 again. This is what it says. "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." So this was verse 40. And I want you to see this distinction. He says, everyone who looks to the Son. And so this is not a statement of being forced to accept the Son. If it was a statement being forced to accept the Son, the scripture would have probably sounded like this. You must bow down to me. You must worship me. Or else you will die, or else you will go to hell. So this is not what the scripture said. This is not what Jesus said. Instead, let's go ahead to the scripture again. He says, "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." And so even here, the implication is that God has given us the choice to choose his son, which is Jesus Christ. And so we know the outcome, right? We know the destiny of those who do not receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The Bible makes it clear to us that their destination will be hell. We know this, but it's still important for us to also note that God did not force anyone to choose his son. God did not force anyone to accept eternal life. And very quickly, as we're talking about this topic tonight, free will versus God's will, and the importance of us accepting God's will on our way to attaining the promise, I want us to quickly go ahead and open our Bible pages to Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. And this is what it says. It says, But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. I want you to go ahead and highlight that. And very quickly, let's just go ahead and turn our Bible pages to John chapter 15, verse 10. This is what it says, y'all. And this is Jesus speaking. He says, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. And one of the reasons that I really wanted to go ahead and also share with you this particular scripture is to show you how, again, Jesus, even being God in the flesh, the way that he, again, addressed the statement, he didn't address it necessarily as a command, although ironically, he's talking about us keeping his commands in this statement. But however, you see that he utilizes the word if, right? If you keep my commands. Whenever you see someone utilizes if, so it's conditional, meaning that it opens the door for you to, again, whether, you know, whether you accept or deny. You have the choice, you have the opportunity to accept or deny, to receive or to reject. And this, my friends, is the same for us today. God has given us the choice to choose his will or to choose our own will. And the reason why he is doing this is because, again, we know through scripture and we know because of Jesus's teachings that God, he is our Father. And a father, though they are loving towards their children, this is the motto that, again, every father should be. But unfortunately, we know there are certain fathers who don't follow that model. But the role of a father is that although they are loving to their children, they have to, again, teach their children by example, but they can't necessarily force their child to do a thing, because forcing implies that, again, there's not a level of freedom, right? And so where there's no level of freedom in a place, it's very hard for you to detect that love is present in that place. It's very hard for you to detect that joy is present in that place. It's really hard for you again to detect that you're doing this out of your own will, meaning you are making that choice because this is the choice that you want, right? And so salvation in itself is a free gift to us from God, but God himself, he doesn't want to force salvation on us, but he wants us as human beings to freely choose salvation, because God wants us to freely choose to love him and not force to love him. Because when it comes to love, if love is forced, this is when it's not love at all. My goodness, I'm going to repeat this again. When love is forced, it's almost as if this is not love at all, because love has to be what? Genuine. You will notice when something is forced, it is what? It is not genuine. Now, for example, there are times in life where you go ahead and do a thing. It's not because you don't want to do it, but you go ahead and do it in humility. And because you go ahead and do it in humility, there's still a level of genuinity there. But you will notice that when someone is particularly doing something by force, there's not really true genuinity, right? Genuineness there. There's not true love there. And there's also not true joy there. And so this is so important for us to pay attention to as well when it comes to us journeying in this life. And also when we are anticipating to receive God's promises. God doesn't want to give us a blessing or a promise, and then we just go ahead and turn our back against God. Because God wants us to not just, again, receive the blessings that he has for us, receive the calling or the destiny or the purpose that he has for love, excuse me, for us, but God wants us to receive himself. God wants us to receive himself, and he wants us to choose him freely without him having to, you know, force us to choose him. I've said this before multiple times in past episodes, and I'm going to say it on tonight's episode. God is not a dictator. And I'm pretty sure all of us, we are so grateful that he is not a dictator, because again, often when you see there's a dictator present in a nation, that dictator does not give that nation a level of freedom. So everything is just being forced upon the people. So this is not a form of love. This is just, again, a form of abuse, a form of manipulation, etc., etc. Now, we know at times God will tell us to do a thing, of course. Not at times, but every time when God tells us to do a thing in Scripture, it's for our own good. But although it's for our own good, still, God wants us to choose to do it freely because in our hearts we want to do it to please Him, but not necessarily because He had to force us to do it. To bring more clarity concerning this topic and discussion even now, I want us to quickly go ahead and turn our Bible pages again. Bible pages again to Deuteronomy 30 verse 19. And in Deuteronomy 30 verse 19, this is what it says, y'all. Today, I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now, I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. This is God speaking. So literally here in Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 19, God is introducing to us free will. He gives us the will to choose, but however, He still wants us to choose His will because, again, at the end of the day, He knows that His will is perfect. His will is the best of all. What is His will? He says it right there plainly to us in Deuteronomy 30 verse 19. He says that He wants us to choose life. He wants us to choose life. So God's will for us is to have life. And some of you perhaps are listening to the podcast and you're saying, of course, who wouldn't want to choose life? But my friends, so many people right now living today are not choosing life. And the reason why I say this is because the opposite of life is not just death, like physical death, but the opposite of life is whatever it is that you are doing that is not in God's will for you. And so many people, they're alive physically, but they are dead spiritually. I'm gonna say this again. Many people, they are alive physically, but they are dead spiritually. True life, the abundant life that Jesus Himself describes to us in John 10:10, is the abundant life. And within that abundant life is not just physical life, but within that abundant life is eternal life, is you knowing again your identity in Christ, your inheritance in Him, your calling, your purpose, your destiny. And above all, it's you truly having a genuine, intimate relationship with Father God, Jesus, and Holy Spirit. This, my friends, is the ultimate blessing above all. And so this is the will of God for all of us. God's will is not for you to be separated from Him. God's will is for you not to be, going through darkness, depression, confusion, lack. He doesn't want those things for you. His will, again, is for you to have life. And this life, as I've already mentioned, is not merely just physical life, but it's everything that is good according to His word. Amen. And so there are times when we are reflecting to ourselves and we're saying, my goodness, I feel like I'm doing everything right. I feel like I don't just believe for what it is that the Lord Himself have revealed to be my portion, or what it is that I'm asking God in prayer to be my portion, but I've actually partnered my faith with works. And yet I still see that I'm in the same predicament year after year. Nothing seems to change for me. So what it is that is going on, you know? And so in this department of your life, you see that you have been putting in the work, but yet nothing is changing for you. So what must you do? Well, my friend, at times it's not that you're not doing the practicality of things, right? It's not that you're not putting in the work. It's not even that you do not have faith, but it just may be the matter of you not surrendering completely these desires of yours and accepting God's will. And accepting God's will does not mean for you to never have these desires or for you to never pray about them. But it's a reminder to you that these desires should never outweigh your desire to please God, your desire to want what it is that God wants for you. I truly believe it's when we reach that moment where above all, we truly just want what God wants for us, is when God in his loving nation, being the perfect father that he is, you will recognize and notice even throughout scripture, this is when God goes ahead and bring his own word to pass concerning your life. And not only does he bring it to pass, but he does it such a way that you know that it is him moving, and he even accelerates his word to come to pass in your life. And so even me, I feel greatly encouraged when I read the story of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and just studying his life and noticing the pattern that he left for us to follow. And one of the main things he left us to follow is to receive his Father's will. It's to say to ourselves, not my will be done, but your will, O Lord. And he knew since the beginning that even through the trials and the tribulations that he would face, above all, his Father's will was best. Can you imagine? So even though he was faced with death, and even prior to death, he was suffering so much, right? He was being ridiculed, guys. And not only ridiculed, but he was going through so much emotional and physical pain leading up to his death. And yet, guess what? He recognized that his trials and his pain couldn't compare to his desire to please his Father. And of course, as well, to all that God already destined to be his portion once he fulfills the will of the Father. And it's the same to us. You may think that the current situation or season that you're in right now is so big that there's no amount of joy that can replace the agony that you're feeling right now. But my friend, what God has in store for you, because you have decided to surrender your own will, your own wants, your own desires, it is going to surpass the current pain that you're going through, the current disappointment that you're going through. And I'm not saying this to just say it, but I know this to be true because I see it again exemplified to us throughout scripture. And I've seen God do it in my life multiple times. And even personally, because I've seen him do it in my life multiple times, I go into a new season of life that perhaps may not have been what I've expected it to be, or perhaps it is a painful season or whatnot. But I remembered every single time of me surrendering my will for God's will for my life, he was always faithful indeed to bless whatever that he had for me to outweigh the pain and the disappointments that I experienced in a present moment or in a past moment. And so I just really want us to pay attention to that when Jesus is talking about for not his will to be done, but the will of the Father. And one more thing I want to go ahead to address on tonight's episode before we go ahead and bring it to a close. I want us to go ahead and very quickly, I want us to go ahead and read Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. This is when God was, you know, looking for Adam after they fell short, right, of his glory. They ended up sinning against God. And this is what it says, Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And then the second scripture, it goes on to say, you know, God is saying, where are you guys, right? And so God, even though he is God, he is so polite to even ask them where they are. But he knew exactly where they were. And this is God the same way with us today. God is not going to force you to surrender your will for his, but he's going to want you to come to him and saying, Father, this day I pray and ask, not my will be done, but yours and yours alone. And in those moments when you do this, supernaturally, God will fill you with his peace. He will fill you with his love. And he will give you the strength to continue to believe for the very best outcome, even though you don't know exactly what comes next. And so I want you to know that it is never in vain to surrender your will for God's will, because God's will is ultimately the most perfect will for your life. And it will not disappoint you. And so I pray that you were encouraged by this part three of the series, this episode, which is part three of the series. And I want you to know that even through all that you are enduring right now, that God, He is with you. He did not forget you. And He is faithful indeed to bless you when you, in fact, surrender your will for His. And the blessing of the Lord makes a person rich and adds no sorrow, as scripture says. And this, my friend, you could take hold of it as a word of encouragement to you tonight, no matter where you find yourself in this current season. And so I pray that you were greatly encouraged by this episode. And if you have been tuning in thus far for our series, Way to the Promised Journey with God, thank you so much. And please go ahead and let us know how this series has been a blessing to you thus far by leaving us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts. And truly, it's such a blessing when you do this, because it helps us to reach more people, to impact more people as well, to master their trust in God. And so, y'all, until next time, this was your sister in Christ, JLP. Peace out. Take care. And almost forgot. Remember, all things are possible with Christ Jesus. Peace out. Take care.